Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So good evening and welcome to the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez. This is our transfer deadline day special. And of course, looking ahead to the Wigan game as well. Joining me on the pod to do just that. First up, we're rushing across South East London. We've got Lewis Cat. How you doing, Luke?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Thank you. Just about got here in time. Well, a bit later than planned, but yeah, thanks for holding out waiting for me.
That's the traffic on transfer deadline day. It's footballers going off in every single direction. You just don't know where they're going to be. Yeah, and also joining us to look ahead to the Wigan game and discuss the transfers in and out is Mr. Tom Willing. How you doing, Tom? The happiest man on earth, I'm guessing.
Second happiest, if you saw his smile last night, I think. But yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
Johnny Williams scoring for Wales and the smile that lit up the world. It was absolutely, it was the perfect moment.
I mean, yeah, life doesn't get much better than that, does it? I mean, nah. Wembley last year was pretty good as well. So it's been nice the last couple of years. I'll take that.
Yeah, you've clearly forgotten everything that's happened in the last year, but we'll move on from that. So on tonight's show, we've got a special guest on tonight's show. It's our transfer deadline day special. We can't do that without the sports editor from the South London Press, Richard Corley. Join me on the phone about an hour before we recorded to give us the latest on what potential ins and outs. We're going to hear from Richard very shortly. We'll discuss the plethora of signings that have happened since our last show. Obviously, we've been off for the international break. Loads of players have come in and gone out since then, so we'll have a bit of a chat around that. We'll talk about Project Big Picture, and of course, we'll look ahead to the home game with Wigan on Saturday, hearing from Simon Gregory from the Progress with Unity Pod, and of course, from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer. So let's go straight into it then. Transfer deadline day. We're recording Thursday. The transfer deadline day is Friday. We need to know what's going to happen. So I got on to Richard Corley then, the man in the know in South London, the sports editor of the South London Press, and asked him, as Charlton fans, are we in for a busy day?
I don't know if it's going to be mega busy. I think, you know, the plan seems to be that there's been talk of two signings and there was talk it could possibly be three. As we talk right now, it's sounding like it's going to be two. But there's always the normal thing that when you talk to people at the club and, you know, I get to see a bit the way that these kind of deals work, there was always the caveat that things can change. So it sounds like a bit of an excuse I'm making in case I'm wrong, but it sounds like a couple in. I'm not particularly convinced there's going to be any other players going out. I mean, you were on the press conference, I think, a bit earlier with Lee, and he said there was no pressure to do anything else going out after Erhan Osteimo and George Lapsley are gone. I think the only other one potentially that could go out or seems to be most likely is Albie Morgan, but there doesn't seem to be any league interest in him as it stands. So I think the non-league window's different. So that doesn't need to happen straight away. So, yeah, a couple more players probably in. It seems to be that it's going to be another forward player and another midfielder. Mm. So
let's talk about those players that you've named then on Twitter today, in particular Sorba Thomas, a young player at Boreham Wood in non-league. What can you tell us about him and how like you do you think that one could be?
Well, I don't know too much about him. I saw that there was a story, I think, on the Daily Mail's website where they described him as one of the hottest properties outside of the league. And, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but these kind of taglines get bandied around a bit. I mean, I watched a Boreham Wood fan quite kindly sent me a sort of link to Sorba Thomas's Instagram, and there's about 6-7 minutes there, which I put on my Twitter feed. I mean, he looks a very good player, but like I said, I think on there, you know, I've never seen bad clips of players on YouTube, really. So he looks an exciting player, plays down the left, but maybe it looks to me like he's probably a bit of an inverted winger because he plays on that side and he's naturally right-footed, because a couple of his penalties, he strikes from right-footed and he touches the ball quite a lot with his right foot as well. Seems as if he can play left wing back and also as a number 10, according to a couple of Bournemouth fans who messaged me helpfully with some details. So yeah, looks exciting. The only thing that I would say is that as of this evening, when I asked the question again about how likely it was looking, the messages coming back didn't sound like they were hugely optimistic this one was going to get through. And it sounded a bit like Bournemouth were being quite tricky to deal with. So that's kind of where we're at on that one. As we've said already, these things are prone to change. But yeah. he looks exciting. He looks athletic. He looks... I think it's always interesting, non-league players, you know, there's such a rich history of players coming through and doing well from non-league, and it's always quite exciting, that sort of unknown entity and what they can kind of do.
Yeah, so there's so many ones where it don't quite go that way, though, like Chris Dixon and Stuart Fleetwood, but we won't get stuck in that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's you mentioned as well a name that we've been linked with before from QPR could be a potential incoming as well.
Yeah, you'll even need to say his name in case I get it wrong, I noticed. But Paul Smith, I think it's Paul Smith, a young Irish, 23-year-old Irish striker at QPR. The West London papers or West London media were kind of saying that Charlton were interested. I think he's a player that Charlton have been interested in previously as well. And I think there is something in that. Whether he is the forward that Charlton will bring in, I don't know. I don't think it was particularly cut and dry, and it would be him. But naturally, with these things, you do a bit of quizzing when the name comes back out again. And it wasn't one that I got told, no, it's not happening. It, not the same as Timmy Abraham and Woodburn at Liverpool. You know, when they were mentioned, the word back was that, no, they're not players that are coming in. I mean, Charlton have had it's difficult. I mean, Lee Bowyer has said it numerous times to try and give fans a bit of a reality check with the wage cap. And it is really hard. And people will say everyone's under it. But as Lee said, other clubs, because of the embargo that Charlton were under, they couldn't do the deals early. And a lot of clubs, Matty Taylor at Oxford, I think, was another player that probably Charlton would have liked. But he re-signed at Oxford, obviously, on more money than the salary cap. And it proved to be the right decision by him because, you know, by the time Charlton came out, they wouldn't have been able to offer that money. And I know people say, well, there must be loopholes and there must be ways around it. I don't think there really is, unless a player's going to sign on on the hope that you're going to get promoted. And while Charlton should be up there, we know that it's not necessarily a one season bang straight back up into the Championship. So I think it's made it a lot trickier for them.
Now, obviously, you mentioned that Lee Bowyer himself said the only possible outs might be a couple of loanees, but he said that was only if it's going to improve their development. So that does sound good for Charlton fans who are worried about Alfie Doughty leaving. Obviously, heavily linked with Celtic earlier on in the window, but they're out the running now because Scotland is officially a different country. So do you think he's going to stay? And while we're talking about people who may stay, Dylan Phillips, I mean, that if he does stay, he's going to be in a very strange situation.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. With Alfie, I think there's still interest over in England. Do I think he's going to go? Probably not now, I would say. I think it favours that he's going to stay. Thomas Sandgaard has said as much. Lee Bowyer has said as much today. So I don't think it's completely likely unless someone comes in with a very, very good offer to change the game. But there are clubs interested. Now, Alfie Doughty's an interesting one because, you know, at the turn of the year, if he goes cross-border to Scotland in the future, I mean, people have told me varying things on the compensation, but, you know, I'm led to believe it's not a lot of money at all. So, but that's absolutely fine because, you know, if Alfie Doughty stays, he's a really good player for Charlton to have. And who knows, if Charlton start flying in the table, Alfie might then sort of look at things. But I think it's unlikely he would sign a new deal, as we said already, because of the salary cap. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. So I think with him, that's where we're at. The Dylan one's a strange one as well, because, you know, there was definitely clubs that were interested earlier in the window. Birmingham City were interested, but obviously then went a different route. Neil Warnock, despite publicly saying he wasn't to the media up there, that he hadn't been after Dylan. He definitely was. I think there's other clubs that have made what I'd say are pretty low offers for him. So it's a difficult one, really, because I don't know whether maybe the deal should have been done before. Because if Dylan doesn't go, you know, he's going to be staying and he's going to be not involved. You know, Lee Bowyer's made it clear Ben Amos number one. Ashley Maynard-Brewer is very happy with. So I don't really quite see. I know that Charlton would want more money, and Dylan was excellent last year, and he's not said he won't play, but that's just the way that the situation is for him. I just think it's a slightly strange one, because surely you get to a point, this is just my opinion, that you eventually have to think, well, we'll take whatever's out there.
Yeah, and it's going to be a very interesting final day, I guess, then for him, and like I said, it'll be a strange situation if he's stuck here behind those two other goalkeepers. But anyway, I mean, let's just have your general thoughts then. It's always interesting to hear someone else's views on the show about how, you know, how we've started and the transfer window that we've had so far. You mentioned, you know, we've been talking the last few weeks about what it was realistic in terms of, because of the salary cap, the sort of players that Charlton can get in, how far behind other teams they may be who have got more expensive players before the cap came in. So where do you see Charlton's position as a club and as a team, as a squad now?
I think if you're looking at where they should finish, I think in a normal scenario, first of all, if we weren't, I didn't have Thomas Sandgaard at the helm, I think that in that scenario, looking at it, you would probably say it would have been a real, real problem for them this season. As it is, I think they've got some good players. I mean, we look at some of the players they signed, you know, Alex Gilby, Chris Gunter, Ben Watson, Marcus Madison, Omar Bogle. He was prolific at Grimsby. His scoring record isn't bad at all in League One. Connor Washington, I think, it's been a bit of an onus on him, which will be lifted a bit. I like the look of the boy they've signed from Norwich as well. So I think they've got a good nucleus there, particularly if they get another couple through the door. I do think it's going to take them a bit of time to catch up. And the fear is, I think, and what I mean by that is players getting up to speed. You just hope it happens quickly enough, because it can make it more tricky to come through the pack. Although Charlton obviously have done that under, you know, they were dropping away under Lee, weren't they, and came through strongly. And obviously the season that you guys went up, it was a really, really strong second half of the season. So they've got that in their locker. I think the thing that remains to be seen is whether there's enough goals in the side. You know, I know people have got their views on Lyle Taylor, but you cannot dispute that he was an excellent striker for Charlton, and he was an excellent striker at the League One level. Obviously, Colin Grant was very good before he got sold as well. It's whether they've got the same kind of ability to score goals, because I think that's probably where the problem's going to lie. I mean, I was looking at one of the recent games, Sunderland, and I think the amount of chances on shots on target, Charlton are right down near, you know, the bottom 22nd or something like that. So I think that's the key thing. Have they got the creativity and the ability to open teams up enough? And I would say that looking at it, they hopefully should, but it's going to be interesting to see the last striker that comes in and obviously the midfielder. And then if they become non-league, that would really kind of probably top it off. But I've got to be honest, I think there are, you know, you look at it, there's probably five or six clubs at least that will really fancy it this year, and it's going to make it trickier. But experienced manager, who knows what he's doing.
Richard Corley there from the South London Press. Thanks to Rich for joining us on the pod. He said potential two in, Tom. So we've seen a fair bit of business over the last few days since that Sunderland game. We've seen all sorts of players coming in: Chris Gunter, Omar Bogle, Ryan Innes, and Ian Mattson on loan from Chelsea as well. We've seen a couple of outs. George Lapsley's gone out to Mansfield today on loan. Aaron Oztuma, I should say, out to Bristol Rovers on loan. Ben Dempsey's gone out to Woking as well. So we've seen lots of in and out since then, but there's still potential for two more by the sounds of it. What are you hoping for, Tom? Striker?
Yeah, I think striker has to be priority. And then possibly a defensive midfielder or a central defender. I think we're still a little bit light in those areas, particularly at the back, whilst Jason and Deji now are injured. But Yeah, it's been an impressive window. We've had to obviously move very fast because of the embargo. I think if you were to have looked at all these signings back in the summer and we'd started at the same time as everyone else, and I know everyone's has been a bit crammed because of the late end of the season, you'd say that, you know, that's pretty standard business, particularly for a club that's had a takeover and had a lift, if you like, with the new ownership. But because of the embargo and because of the issues we've had as a club, we've kind of had to force all of our business into a 2-3 week period. So it's felt a lot more relentless, if you like, which is positive. And Boya said it himself, I think, in the press conference today, that, you know, the players have wanted new bodies through the door. It's been clear in the last 2 or 3 performances that players just need a little bit of support. And yeah, the players that have come in, I think, are going to give everybody a lift. But as Rich has said there, we do need a couple more. And I think probably the priorities would have to be a striker. And then, as I say, somebody slightly more defensive, whether that's a midfielder or a centre back, I'm not sure. But with the likes of Ozzy and George going out, and I know Boya is still keen for Albie to go out somewhere as well, most likely non-league now, I think the midfield could potentially get a bit light. So maybe central midfield is where he needs to focus now.
Well, two of the names that we heard there mentioned by Richard Corley, Sauber Thomas from Boreham Wood, we've seen Richard speaking about him, and Ben Ramson, of course, today. Paul Smith or Smythe, and we couldn't decide, Richard, whether it's Smith or Smythe, how you pronounce his surname. But one we've been linked with as well before, a youngish 23-year-old from QPR. I mean, there's a couple of names floating out there. Obviously, with it being transfer deadline day, Lewis, you never know what's going to happen. There could be new ones thrown into the mix almost out of nowhere. It didn't sound too likely on the Sauber Thomas one in particular. So you never really know. It's strange for us to be going into a transfer deadline day with some excitement rather than trepidation.
Well, that's it. Yeah, so you're always onto a winner when you can actually sign players when you're not in an embargo, which is great. So yeah, like you say, it can all change between now and 5 p.m. tomorrow. The names linked, as Richard said there, with the guy from Boreham Wood and with Paul Smythe. You know, I'd not heard Ryan Innes' name mentioned before they came in the door. The same with Ian Matson. So it shows that I imagine Steve Gallen and Bo have got a fairly large list. I mean, we always hear in pre-season they've got this huge list of players to go through, and finally they're in a position where they can actually bring some of those players through the door, because they've been under such restrictions for such a long time. It's quite refreshing to have, you know, the ability to actually go out there and strengthen your squad. It's just typical we've got the salary cap as a hurdle at the moment, but I think with the signings that we've had come through the door already, especially since the Sunderland game, you know, Chris Gunter is a fantastic experienced defender with caps at international level, so much EFL experience as well. Omar Bogle is someone that, you know, we've seen in and around the divisions over the years, and is proven at this level as well. And it looks good. Like, you mean, the people that are coming in, given the salary cap restrictions that we do have, are people that ultimately are going to improve the squad. And I'm really excited to see sort of where we're at tomorrow at 5 p.m. Tom said there about we'll probably see some of the younger guys go out on loan. I wouldn't be surprised to see Albie go somewhere. I'm surprised he's not had any EFL interest, if I'm honest. I think Albie's at least League Two standard. I was going to say James Vennings, but I think Bo quite right, you know, quite rates him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck around. And maybe now we've had some strikers through the door and we want to get another one through, maybe Davison will go out and get some experience as well. I think it would do him the world of good. So yeah, I think we're going to be in a decent position, hopefully, this time tomorrow. We'll have our squad up till January. And, you know, for us, really, given the restrictions we had at the start of the campaign, maybe our season actually really for us starts now. And yeah, it's exciting. Looking forward to it.
So, I mean, let's discuss some of those people that have come in through the door since our last show then a couple of weeks ago, Tom. So first of all, Chris Gunter, another proud Welshman like yourself. And I think I saw his Wales most capped player. So obviously comes with some pedigree there, and in a position that I guess I think it's fair to say we needed strengthening. A lot of people thought it was going to be Adam Matthews, but sounds like Chris Gunter was the man that Lee Bayard has always had his eye on in that right back berth.
Yeah, I think a fantastic bit of business at this level. Obviously spent the majority of his career, in the Championship with Reading and Nottingham Forest. So to drop down to this level, I think it's really good that we've got him through the door. And obviously, he's in the latter part of his career now. What is he, 31, I think? So he's an experienced defender, but I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And I think one of the things perhaps we're lacking across the whole side is pace. And he's obviously not necessarily going to add that. But at the same time, he can get forward. He can be an attacking outlet on that side. You know, Chris Solly was never blessed with pace, but could get forward at times. I would have been equally happy, I think, with Adam Matthews, given how he'd been at the squad before and had you know, been a part of this side. And he'd look really good in the back end of the last season. But I think Chris Kunta, as I say, to get a player of that calibre in League One shows the pull of the side at the moment and the pull of Lee Bowyer. And it's great to get him over the line. As you say, I think we needed strength in that area. And again, I go back to the fact that Deji and Jason are injured at the moment, and we'd had poor young Charlie Barker playing there week in, week out, who's done fantastically well, but needs a break, particularly after the own goal the other day. So, yeah, I'm glad he's in. I think he'll be a very reliable right back, which, again, if I go back to Solly, we've become accustomed to in the past few years. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him get started, but he's a player I have a lot of admiration for. You know, been a consistent player for both Reading and Forest, got a lot of caps for both of those clubs. So, a really good one to get through the door.
Now, of course, a striker is a position that we were definitely needed at least one in, probably two, because we've lost Lyle Taylor now. We've lost Macaulay Bonn as well, of course, to QPR. Omar Bogle is the man who's come in, 28 years old, released by Cardiff, had a numerous loans away from the Cardiff City Stadium since he arrived there. Lewis, what do you reckon? He's not had the most prolific time recently, but when he was with Grimsby, he had a decent record, 32 goals over the course of a couple of seasons in the league. So, what do you make of him?
I'm actually quite excited about Omar Bogle. He was a name that I thought of quite early on in the window because I'd seen that he'd been released, and he was someone I thought that at this level, especially, we've seen him feature for a few clubs at this level and maybe not perform as prolifically as he did for Grimsby. But, you know, that form at Grimsby earned him the move up a couple of divisions. So it shows that he can step up. I mean, he's been at Wigan, he's been at Cardiff, you know, he's had decent spells. I remember him being in the Portsmouth side the year we got promoted. Obviously, he's in a fairly successful Pompey side. Of course, they didn't get promoted, but they were at the right end of the table. And I was quite surprised to see him loaned out again last year to Den Haag out in Holland. You know, it's quite a bizarre move for him. He only made a handful of appearances there, but managed to get a goal. And at the end of the day, you know, we have this record of being able to get players in that maybe aren't fancied. And I always revert back to Jan Kermigan as the prime example, because he wasn't fancied by anybody when he came in. And when he came to us, I think anyone would say they were fairly sceptical. And you only have to look at how that worked out. And I think that under the management of Bowyer and Johnny Jackson and just the whole sort of feel-good factor surrounding the club at the moment, it's a great, you know, great area and a great place for these players to come and succeed. And there'll be a few players that we've signed now that will want to come in and prove a point. I think Marcus Madison, you know, we mentioned on the show before Sunderland that he's a player that we know can do it at this level, and he can have a point to prove. So I'm excited for Omar Bogle to come in. I do think it's an upgrade on Macaulay Bonn, which is a statement. We'll see if he meets that. But I do think he is an upgrade on Macaulay Bonn because I think he's got experience at this level. And I think that he'll work well with Connor Washington and Chucks. You know, they're all quite physical players and physical strikers. And maybe that's why the next striker that comes in, if we manage to get one tomorrow, he might be a slightly different mold. You know, he might be more of a quick player, more of a Carlin Grant kind of player than someone that holds the ball up, because I think the three strikers that we've got at the moment are a lot more physical. But either way, they're options, and I think that he's going to do a good job here, and I'm excited to see him play. Whether he's involved at the weekend or not, I don't know, because a lot of these players are maybe lacking match fitness. But I think it's a good signing to get through the door, and ultimately, even if he's a squad player for a little bit, he's a great option to have off the bench. So I'm looking forward to seeing Omar play.
Now, one who's joined as well, Ryan Innes from Crystal Palace, a player who actually had 10 loans away from Selhurst Park, couldn't wait to get away from that dump. 25-year-old come in, defender. I feel like he's going to be one of those ones, Tom, that certainly will have something to prove, because he didn't get first team opportunities at Crystal Palace, you know, too often. I think he made two League Cup appearances there and that's it. So he's going to want to find a home to really make his own. Questionable temperament issues in his past. I'm sure there's more than one person that's had that sort of stuff. So, but, you know, Lee Bowyer would have seen that and he'll think that he's the man to get what he wants out of a player like Ryan Innes.
Yeah, and all managers think that, don't they? All managers, you look at how many clubs Mario Balotelli at the top level has had, because every manager thinks they'll be the ones to kind of rein him in and keep him under control. And all managers have that ego, but I think what Bowyer has is proof that he's done it. You know, he's done it before with players and he can do it again. And Lewis's example of a Jan Kermagant as someone who comes in unfancied and performs well, obviously this is slightly different. He comes with a bit of a reputation that he'll want to kind of get rid of, if you like, and prove people wrong. But you just look at him in terms of his size and his stature, he's going to be an imposing presence at the back. And I'm really excited to see him play. He's not a player I know a huge amount about, but obviously when it was announced, I kind of Googled him and read some of the things and the off-the-pitch incidents that have perhaps happened. But he admitted it himself, you know, he's looking for a club that he can call his home. He's looking for a fresh start. And Bowyer's going to take him on face value. He's not going to care about anything in the past. He's going to say, look, you get your head down and work hard and you're going to play a big part in this team. And I really hope that it works out for him, because, as I say, I'm certainly not going to judge him on his past either. And he looks like an imposing player, as I say. So, yeah, not one I know a huge amount about, but an area we needed to strengthen. And I'm excited to see what he can do, because, I don't know, he's just got the feel of one of those players that Bowyer can get a tune out of. And yeah, I'm excited to see him play.
And finally now, of course, Ian Martson, who's joined on loan from Chelsea, 18-year-old. So, you know, has the benefit of falling below the age that the wage cap kicks in. So effectively a free hit for the Addicts. Sounds like he's quite highly rated at Chelsea, Lewis, you know, for playing on the left-hand side of defence, although it sounds like he can play a little bit further forward as well. Again, one I don't know too much about, but reading people who understand the Chelsea youth team, it sounds like we might have a bit of a prospect on our hands here. And, you know, we've picked up good loanees from Premier League clubs over the years, and hopefully this will be another one to add to that impressive list.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's going to be a player very similar mould to Jay De Silva, and, you know, his success with us was great and recognised. He won Player of the Year. So if he can replicate that, then we've got a serious player on our hands. You know, he's obviously got pedigree. He came through at Feyenoord as a youngster and went on to PSV. And Chelsea snapped him up back in 2018. And, you know, they've got one of the most successful academies in the country when you look at some of the people that they're producing and that are coming out on loans. You know, we look at Conor, we use Conor Gallagher as a great example with us last year. Jay De Silva, you've got Mark Guahi at Swansea as well. You've got lots of great prospects coming through that Chelsea side. So they obviously see something in him. And I think that he's going to be, again, a very good player for us. He just brings something different to that left back position. You know, we've spoken on here before that maybe Purinton isn't the strongest going forward, and I think that Ian Mattson will bring something different to that role. He'll be a little bit more attacking, and that's what I've read from some Chelsea fans, really, is that he's got the ability to drive forward with the ball and create chances, and he can be caught out sometimes, but we saw that with Jay De Silva quite a bit, but it worked more often than it didn't. And I think that at the end of the day, we're a fantastic place to send young talent, and we've proved season after season that we improve these players and they go on to do great things. You know, Gallagher's now playing in the Premier League on a loan, and we've seen it with Christian Bielik, the player he became when we had him from Arsenal, and Jay De Silva got a move to Bristol City and has performed consistently over a couple of seasons for them. And it shows that we're a good place for these players to grow, and I think that Ian will be no exception to that. And I'm excited about this signing, actually, more than some of the others, because when we get these players in, they always do have that sort of rawness, and it kind of works at this level because they've kind of, you know, they've got like a sponge of a brain that people like Lee Bowyer are going to mould, and that's only going to make them a better player. And I think he'll be a really good signing for us, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring to our side.
Certainly looking forward to seeing these sort of the sort of attacking prowess that I don't think we have had in our left back situation for a little while now, you know, unless Alfie was playing there. So yeah, looking forward to seeing how he goes then. Right, what shall we say then, Tom? Our squad now compared to our squad when we're in League One 2 years ago, what was the better squad?
at the moment, I'd still have to say the last one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'd have to say.
You look through that squad and where those players are now, and I think the other reason is that just because the current squad is unproven, and who knows, you know, when Pauli put that squad together of how many new signings was it in one summer? And I remember coming to that first game down here, I think it was against Bournemouth, and I hadn't heard of half the team, and look how that worked out, and look at where a lot of them are now. Some of them still playing in the Premier League. So, you know, I'm not going to judge this squad too early, but obviously the start of the season has been difficult. The off-the-pitch incidents that you referenced right at the start of the show over the summer and previous have obviously affected things. So I don't think exactly we're an established squad, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be a good squad. And I think they're still going to need a few more games to bed in. And if that, you know, drops us away even further from the top six for a few weeks, then I'll make my peace with that, because I think once Boya gets his philosophy into these boys and instills that, as I said earlier about a couple of the players, he's not going to accept anything less than 100% from every single one of them. And I think then they can start maybe to build. But I've mentioned it a couple of times on shows before, perhaps we're going to have to write this season off. And I know it's very early to be saying that, and I'm not saying that there's no chance of us making the top six at all. But I just think we need to be patient with Boya, because he's been working with hands tied behind his back for the last year or two. And now he's got a bit of money, albeit the salary cap has played a part as well. And he can maybe start to mould a squad and let's see what happens. And it's a chance to be excited by new players. I'm not worried for us at all. But in terms of that direct question, I think the squad that we had before, I mean, you looked at that midfield with Cullen and Bielik and Aribo in there. When you look back at it, I'm surprised it took us the playoffs to get up, really, because, you know, we had a brilliant midfield. We had Lyle Taylor on fire. It was a very well-run squad. And this one's just going to take a bit of time to gel, I think. But it's still a good side now, and it's coming together.
Yeah, and one thing actually, Lewis, we should talk about before we go on to the tweets then, is those two players who've gone out on loan today. I mean, to be fair, both came as a bit of a surprise to me. George Lapsley going out to Mansfield and Erin Oztumer out to Bristol Rovers. I mean, when you're seeing this, I mean, it is clear that it does move around some money to become available for within the wage cap, so we can go on and maybe offer more or bring in someone more expensive than we were thinking beforehand. But, you know, I'm a little bit sad to see both of them leave, to be honest, because I like George. I feel like he brought a lot of energy to the team. You know, speaking to someone earlier, I described him as a young man's Darren Pratley, really. You know, he adds that sort of edge to the midfield. And Erin Oztumer never quite hit the heights that I was hoping he would, because he had a couple of decent spells. But I am slightly saddened to see them both leave.
Yeah, me too. And I think you describe Lapo perfectly. I think he is that sort of Darren Pratley in the making. You know, he comes on, he throws himself in front of the ball when he needs to. He puts his body on the line, you know. We talked so often about his performance at Portsmouth away, where he got absolutely clattered and we ended up getting the result there because he threw his body on the line. And I'm kind of shocked to see Lapo go out on loan. But at the same time, I do think it will benefit him, because we are starting to not be oversubscribed in that midfield, but we've got a lot of players that play in his position. Maybe one thing that surprises me is that he can obviously play right back, and we've only got the one in Chris Gunter at the moment, with Deji out injured. We don't know how long that's going to be. And with Erin, with Ozzy and stuff, I think with him, he's not quite hit the heights, but I do think that maybe this season would have been an opportunity for him to break through a bit more, because we know how good he is at this level. When he played for Walsall, he was, you know, one of the best players in the division. And when he left, they've completely nosedived. So he obviously can do it at this level, but there's a lot of competition in that midfield. You know, you've got Johnny Williams that can play in his position. You've got now Marcus Madison as well. Chucks can play in the 10. You just think, maybe is Boya's Charlton a little bit more physical? And you know, it's no secret with Ozzy that he is not the strongest of players. He's not the most physical. He does get knocked off the ball quite easily. Maybe we just don't play to his strengths, and maybe he doesn't maybe suit the style of play that we're going for. But, you know, I think he would have made a difference. And I was excited to see him start the other week, because I thought he'd bring something. But then ultimately he didn't really bring a huge amount in that Sunderland game. But then again, no one really did. So I'm sad to see him go out on loan. But I think it will benefit both players in the long run. What it means for Aussie going forward, I don't know, because from memory, I believe his contract is up at the end of this season coming. And with Lapo, it's still going to be a great experience. And we know that he's going to come back to Charlton a better player and a more experienced player. And he's got a very bright future ahead of him at this football club. And I think that this will do him the world of good to go out and get some, you know, some proper, consistent man's football. There's no reason why he won't be in that Mansfield side starting every week, because he'll be a real asset, especially at League Two level, because we've seen him perform at Championship and League One. So I think it's a great move for George. Again, like I say, slightly surprised about Aussie, but if it benefits the player and we get a better player back, then, you know, it only works in our favour.
Yeah, certainly. And it does sound like Lapo put himself forward for that move as well. So, you know, hopefully he gets what he wants out of his loan to Field Mill. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in. Sarah Saunders tweeted that she was looking forward to listening to the show and wants a shout out for her daughter, Summer, who's been unwell recently. So, Summer, I hope you're feeling better soon. I hope everyone is good. Right, James Clark says, excited by both the signings of Ryan Innes and Ian Martson during the week, hoping that Innes can fill the considerable gap left by Tom Lockyer and Martson can add desperately needed pace to the side. They'll both add something extra to the squad. Yeah, and certainly we're not a quick-looking team at the moment. Tom Bramley says, defensively, when Pierce is fit, we look very solid. I still worry slightly about where the goals will come, similar to what Richard Corley said, actually, especially if Doughty is sold. Although hopefully he won't be. If we sign another striker and keep Doughty, we will have a good season. Franco says that the squad is shaping up nicely for me. Whenever I read something like Ryan is a player that Steve Gallen has been following for a long time, I instantly know the fella is going to do a job. Gallen is a magician and Chutwin are very lucky to have him. Matt says, I'm very happy with all the deals we've done so far. I think the squad is coming together finally, but we need to finish off the window with another striker and maybe another attacking midfielder, as we know what our luck is like with injuries. Terry says it's looking like a very good League One squad to him. Ashley said, solid signings considering the restrictions we have. Curious if Phillips or Doughty will be moving on before Friday. As we heard there from Richard Corley, it seems unlikely. We spoke about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, how weird it will be if Dylan is still here at 5 o'clock on Friday because of his personal situation. And he's a great goalkeeper, but it's just because he didn't want to sign that contract. And obviously he won't do that now with the wage cap. I just hope his career doesn't suffer or he gets frozen out, because he's a good goalkeeper and a good character as well. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll have a little chat about Project Big Picture.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yeah! Oh, it's in!
Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty!
Woo! Dreamland!
Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it all!
Get in! Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to our home game with Wigan very shortly. But don't forget, we've just heard from Richard Corley on the show, transfer deadline day. Probably if you're listening to this on the Friday, that is transfer deadline day, you'll know a little bit more than we know at 5 to 8 on Thursday as we continue recording the show. But it'll be fascinating to see what happens on the final day of the transfer window for the Addicts. Now, something else that's been quite fascinating this week, and I wrote this down as something to talk about at the start of the week, and then by the end of it, it sounded like it almost became a non-story because it's been rejected by the teams within the Premier League. But Project Big Picture was leaked to the Telegraph earlier on this week, and a way that some of the bigger clubs wanted to mould the game in the foreseeable future is a way I think they were trying to imply that it would help EFL clubs in terms of the money they receive, especially in this very difficult situation with COVID. But also it would appear that it would give some of these bigger clubs a hell of a lot of power as to how the game would be run. We'd also see the Premier League reduced to just 18 teams. So it was something that a lot of EFL clubs were a bit wary of. A lot of them did seem to be quite happy with it as well. So I thought it was quite interesting to hear what Lee Bowyer had to say on the matter. He was asked about that during his press conference earlier on today.
I think that the EFL clubs are in a vulnerable position at the moment. And maybe some clubs with good financial backing maybe taking a little bit advantage of that. But when you're in trouble financially, then people will take anything to survive. And I'm guessing that there's a lot of clubs that are in that state at the moment. And we was one of them. So if anyone would have given us an handout at a stage when it's either take their hand out or you're going to fold, and I think anything, that anyone will take anything. Fortunately enough for us, we're not in that situation anymore. But I do feel for other clubs because we was close to being one of them clubs. So yeah, that's my views on it. But if someone needs help and someone's prepared to help you, then you take that help.
Does it sit badly with you though that, you know, people at the very top of at those clubs at the very top are willing to sort of push through their advantage at a time like this?
It doesn't sit badly with me because they're trying to help. They're trying to help clubs survive. Like I said, if you're in a position that you can't get help, then you're going to crumble and fall away. So you have to give the higher clubs, the people that are offering financial backing, then you have to accept that, and they don't have to do that, but they're trying to lend a hand, if you like. Yes, of course they're going to benefit from it, but no one gets anything for nothing at the moment. So you have to take everything you can.
There we go then, Tom. So I think Bo can see the positives and the negatives in the situation. I mean, the first thing we have to say is that with the current situation, I don't think so much for Charlton because we've literally just had a takeover by someone very wealthy, but for a lot of clubs in the EFL, this is a really, really tough time. So any offer of help will have to be considered. I've noticed the EFL have knocked back the Premier League again today with a £50 million offer. They've said that's not quite what they were hoping for. So the EFL clubs clearly feel they have a little bit of bargaining power in this situation. But, I mean, the first thing, we do need to see Premier League money trickling down the pyramid a bit more, especially during this current situation.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of Project Big Picture which was wrong and felt a little bit like blackmail. The fact that two clubs who... one of them is at the top of the pyramid and one of them, I referenced it the other day, hasn't won the league in 7 years and currently has Phil Jones and Harry Maguire as employed centre-backs at the club. So how they can call themselves a big six, I'm not sure. But for two clubs like that to come out and try and run the roost over everybody is simply not fair. The rescue fund, which I think was initially going to be £250 million, and 25% of all future TV deals for the EFL, that's an absolutely brilliant incentive. And I think I saw a lot of EFL kind of owners and managers come out and say that part of the deal was brilliant. But the parachute payments being scrapped and how that affects things, the Premier League being scaled down to 18 clubs would obviously make it harder to get in. And the change in voting rights, it just felt like more power to the top six or nine clubs. And again, you go back to how those get decided. And that's not right. You know, even the Premier League itself, as far as I understand it, should be a democracy over the 20 clubs. And that's why it's been voted down by the others. But yeah, in answer to your question about the EFL, you're right. The money does have to trickle down. And I do sympathise with some of the stuff that the likes of Sean Dyche have said, who, you know, said just because we're at the top, we, you know, we don't owe those clubs anything. And in any other business, I do see that. You know, if you're a successful, I don't know, restaurant, you shouldn't be paying some of your profits to struggling restaurants just because they're not as profitable as you. Having said that, I think a lot of the Premier League, football doesn't work in the same way as any other business, does it? And a lot of the Premier League has a lot of the EFL to be grateful for. You know, you look at the players that are there, you look at the opportunities that they get of players going out on loan, you think of the examples that we've said already, Jada Silvers, Conor Gallagher, you know, players like that, that then should be getting opportunities at the top table, and some of them will and some of them won't. So if nothing else, the Premier League can look at the EFL as a platform, but there's no need to chuck B teams in there. Loan them out to existing clubs, because that benefits both. And yeah, it's a really difficult one, because you've got, I don't know, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are plenty of clubs in League One and League Two who probably don't really ever dream of getting to the Premier League, and that's not what they're about. They're about their local community, they're about surviving as a football club, and they're about doing things on a lot more local level. And then there are clubs like us and Sunderland, and maybe even the likes of Portsmouth down at this level, who will aspire to be back up there because they've had successful spells up there. So to make that pyramid even harder to climb is an absolute non-starter. But having said that, there are aspects of it that are right, and as you said, ultimately the finances need to find a way of evening themselves out. And as frustrated as we are by the salary cap, I think that's a start. But I think it's the Championship at the moment that has the most questions to answer, because that's where you've got the most unsustainability, if that's a word, because you've got owners just gambling on the Premier League. And ultimately, if they don't get there, they're banging trouble. So the whole of football needs a look at the finances. And this might start that conversation. But Project Big Picture, as it was definitely not the way to go.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have another quick break here on the Big Match Preview. And then it's time to start looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Wigan Athletic.
Space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Alex, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. It was a wonderful fall through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's Crewe Alexandra nil, Charlton Athletic 1.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. Time to focus now on our home tie with Wigan Athletic. Obviously, both sides relegated from the Championship last season in slightly different circumstances. I mean, similar ownership issues, I guess, but theirs were worse than ours, because they actually went into administration, lost those 12 points, which otherwise they would have stayed up comfortably after having a very impressive end to the season. But of course, with all the issues off the field at Charlton being sorted now, it feels a lot of fans have been turning their attention to Wigan. Now, it does feel like that the ownership situation, there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So I spoke to Si Gregory from the Progress with Unity podcast, a Wigan Athletic podcast, to find out how he feels going into Saturday's game. And first of all, I asked him for the ownership situation, if it seems to be coming to a bit of a happier conclusion now.
Well, it's looking that way. You know, we followed you guys with what's been going on down there, and I'm sure a lot of your fans will have been following what's been going on with us, but it does look like an end is in sight. It's all with the EFL now going through their processes, and I don't think we should go into that in too much detail. But yes, the end does look like it's in sight, with a group from Spain taking a plunge on such a great club.
Yeah, and it must be such a relief, because I guess, you know, whenever a team drops into administration, as we saw with Wigan, particularly in the slightly bizarre circumstances that they did, that there will always be a fear that could be the end of the club.
Well, that's saying, that's, you know, that was my initial thoughts when we got that news towards the end of last season, that what's going to happen to my team? What do I do if the worst case does happen? You know, we've been very fortunate over the years to have a great owner in Dave Whelan, you know, especially the time that I've been supporting Wigan. You know, we've had stability, and obviously that changed when we changed ownership. And you never know what you're going to get. You never know what the future's going to hold. And unfortunately for us, things went pear-shaped, but you can't look back now. You can only look forward. What has happened has happened. We now need to get on with the future and building success under new ownership.
Yeah, and it must have been so frustrating as well to be relegated under the circumstances you were, because the side had played so well in the second half of last season to get themselves away from it, and other than that points deduction, they wouldn't be down there. So obviously now, as you say, it's time to look to the future. I mean, there's a new manager in place. John Sheridan has come in. What's his first few weeks in charge been like?
Do you know what? It's been pretty solid, really. We've had to ship out quite a lot of players who obviously don't want to play at League One. They're above League One standard. So we've lost a lot of players there, but the players we've brought in are doing a job. They're on short-term contracts, obviously, because we can't sign anyone on anything longer due to the ownership problems that we've had. But it's been all right. The results have been okay. Obviously, bar our trip to Crewe at the weekend, it's been relatively good, spirited, and a lot of players have got the Wigan Athletic side, which is really important. And like I say, we can't look back, we can only look forward. We've lost a lot of good talent. We've lost youth players, which hurts, because the academy that we had was being built into something special. We've lost those type of ways, but we go again. That's all you can do. We've got a club at the end of the day, which is the first and foremost, the main priority.
Yeah, you say that. I mean, so what sort of shape would you say the squad is in now? Because obviously it felt like every day Wigan seemed to be selling a player over the course of the summer break. Have they been able to bring in any quality, or a fair bit of quality in your view?
Yeah, I mean, the one to watch would be Viv Solomon Ottobor, who we brought in from the continent. He was playing out in, I want to say Bulgaria, but don't quote me on that. He has played in the Football League in the past. He brings, you know, he's got quality. We've got Joe Garner still at the club, who, you know, has played his game around, obviously, at Football League level as well. He's producing goals. And then we've kept hold of one or two. Cal Naismith, absolutely fantastic. Play him anywhere at the moment. He's really set up from, and one of the few players that we've kept from our band of brothers from last season, who tried to keep us going. But then, you know, players wise, we brought in, we made some good loan signings, and we're making the best of a bad situation. But fortunate, you know, still we had a club, and we still have a club, and if we've still got a club at the end of the season, I'll still be happy.
Yeah, and how do you see Saturday going? Obviously, Charlton ourselves, we're going for a bit of a rebuild now that we've got the new owner in, and we've been signing quite a few players this week, but we haven't won since the opening day. So how do you rate Wigan's chances back at the Valley?
Well, it's one of those, if you weren't playing us, because of how everything went, you know, with our fans and your fans over the situations that we've both been put in, you know, I'd be backing you guys for a win. It's tough, isn't it? Because when you're rebuilding squads, you need to have time to gel and then for things to come good. You've made some cracking signings. You know, you've got FA Cup winners in that team now, and what have you. So, you know, you brought in quality. I think if we're on our day, the players that we've got, they've shown real class, they've shown real commitment, and I feel that we could win. but at the same time, the players that you've brought in as well, it's a tough one to call. He's definitely one you wouldn't put on an accumulator. And to be honest, I'd go for a draw if I'm being brutally honest.
Si Gregory there from the Progress with Unity pod. Thanks to Simon for speaking to me. First of all, it sounds like there's light at the end of the tunnel for Wigan, which is great because, Lewis, I mean, we've all been watching aghast at what's been going on up there at the DW Stadium, all sorts of shady goings-on, and you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemies, let alone a fairly harmless club like Wigan Athletic, and pleased that they seem to be coming out of it the right end now.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we can sympathise more than many about what it's like to be in the position that they're in. As you say, they've sort of gone one step further with it and they were put into administration, which ultimately led to their relegation to League One. And they didn't deserve that. They were fantastic last year. You know, they were sort of dead and buried at a point, and then they went on an unbelievable run under Paul Cook, didn't they? And it was incredibly sad to see them go down the way they did. Similar to us, really. But the way they went down with the points deduction and everything, it seemed really harsh. And we've said before, like, it's... when you're punishing the football club and not the people involved in the wrongdoings, it just feels wrong on so many levels. With the ownership there, I'm hoping that there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're in the sort of privileged position now where it almost feels too good to be true with Thomas. You know, everything is just so chilled, and we're doing a big match preview where we're purely talking about what's happening on the pitch. You know, it's great, like, to be talking about that rather than all the circus that we've had over the last couple of years. And I hope that it sorts out for Wigan as well, because they really pulled together and got behind us when we needed them, and likewise with us. There's been a lot of mutual support on social media from both sets of fans for both clubs. And the only shame really this weekend is that we have to watch it behind closed doors, you know, because I think it would have been a real nice coming together of two sets of supporters with a real mutual respect for each other. And the sooner that their situation is confirmed and they're in a similar position to us, the better. And that's two great football clubs that have been saved. So fingers crossed for them that everything works out for them, because I've had a real newfound respect for Wigan Athletic over this difficult period. And the way they got behind Charlton as a football club to support us when we needed them most was incredibly admirable. And I really hope that the light at the end of the tunnel is a lot closer now for them. And it would be great news, and hopefully the next time we play them, we'll have a couple of fans back in the stadium, and we can celebrate properly then.
Yeah. Now, Tom was reasonably happy with the start to the season that Wigan have had. I mean, beaten heavily at Crewe, last weekend that they played last weekend when we were on international break. But other than that, they've got a couple of wins under their belt, and against good sides as well. They won away at Portsmouth. They won at home against Doncaster, so they've clearly, you know, the amount of change they've had in their squad, it doesn't seem like it's affected them too much, and it's going to be another tough game for us, particularly going into Saturday, because we're a side that's still very much taking time to gel, and we've got all these new faces in and around the building. It's going to take a little while for us to get on the same page.
Yeah, I said it earlier. It's going to take a little while to mould our squad, and we have to appreciate that, and you know, it will come. It will definitely come. We know Boya can do it at this level, but it takes a bit of time. But you're right, they're two good wins for them. But, you know, three defeats. I think they've conceded 9 goals in those three as well, which is, you know, a lot of goals to have conceded. Over the 5 games, they've conceded 9 goals, which I think there's only 2 clubs who've conceded more than that. So, you know, with Rich talking earlier about the goals, where are they going to come from for Charlton? We've sort of talked about the need for a striker as well. This is hopefully a side that we can try and get at. You know, we've seen the likes of Washington start the season well. Alfie obviously got on the score sheet as well. So we have got players in those attacking roles. And you'd have to say, based on the results so far, that if there is a team that you can go after and you can try and get results, then Wigan is certainly one of them. So, yeah, it's very difficult to kind of predict what's going to happen in this game because, as you say, Wigan are going through a tough time themselves. We've obviously had so many new signings through the door, and we've only had the one game, haven't we, officially under Thomas Sandgaard. So it's going to take a little while, but I think, as I say, they're a team that can be got at. And what I'm looking forward to is Boya putting a side out there that go on the front foot and try and attack, because now that we're starting to get players in those positions, hopefully we can start to be a bit more of an exciting side going forward, which we just haven't really seen in the last few games. You know, we've had periods in games where we've dominated and created and just not really finished things off. But if we can make that last bit click, then we're a side that I do think has goals in us, despite what we've spoken about earlier.
Excellent stuff. Right, obviously with the game coming up on Saturday, we want to know what the injury situation is going into that contest with Wigan. So Bo was asked about that. You'll hear that in the second part of this clip. But first of all, the Addicts boss was asked about how he felt about the Latics going down from the Championship last year.
Yeah, I feel for Wigan because they shouldn't be in this division. I honestly believe that. They cooked up really well with them back end of the season. And they shouldn't be in this division. It's plain and simple. But the things that happened off the pitch, and then the football club's been punished, and I feel for them. So, but it is what it is, and we have to carry on. And we're going to be turning out on Saturday to try and get the 3 points. We played them late on in last season's in the Championship, and it was a good game. So I have no doubt this weekend it'll be two teams that try and play the right way and try and win the game.
And in typical Charlton fashion, obviously we brought 10, maybe another two coming in, but news that Deji has picked up the injury to join Alex and Piercy. I mean, how are they looking going forward on the injury front? I didn't see how serious Deji's was.
Well, Deji finished the game on Saturday. He done it in a game two weekends ago now, against Sunderland, and he finished the game. So we wasn't aware until the Monday that Deji had a problem with the underneath of his foot. So it must have been the way he landed or something like that. It's not muscular or anything. It's damaged to the bottom of his foot, which is a freak injury. Our physio saying that the fella that scanned it and comes back and feeds you with the information saying he's never seen this injury before. So it's a freak one. Like, it's just unlucky. So it's not like anything that we've done on a training pitch or anything like that. It's just a freak injury that you can't control. You get them, you know. We had four knee injuries last season. You can't control them. They're just part of the game. How long is Deji going to be out? From what I understand, it's going to be a while. He's going to be in the boot for a while. But we'll get by. We'll get by. We always do. We brought Ryan in. And obviously, we've got Prattley that can slide back there as well. So we'll be okay.
Lee Bowyer, you're there giving us the injury update. So it's Deji Oshalaja is now on the sidelines, along, of course, with Jason Pearce and Alex Gilby. Injuries are just starting to creep up a little bit again, Lewis. I mean, we had this problem last year. It was probably played a big part in us going down, is the fact we had so many injuries in the squad. And a shame to lose Deji, I guess. He's played a lot of games. He's quite an interesting player to watch. He can be quite erratic at times, but he has actually been played a bit of a leadership role in that defence for us this season. So I think purely because of that, I think we could probably miss him a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's stepped up when we've needed him. It's, you know, he didn't play a huge amount of football for us last season in the Championship, and maybe it wasn't out of his depth, but at times he looked a little bit like he wasn't quite at the level required to play in the Championship. But we know that he's good at this level because he was... You know, he's had decent seasons for AFC Wimbledon. He was their captain as well. So he's got decent leadership qualities that you're going to need, because we're starting to see experienced heads come in now, but we still do have quite a young squad. And his experience will be missed, especially, you know, with the sort of lack of options there at the moment. I mean, we've got Akin Fanwo, who's really impressed me since he's come in. Prattley's filled in there. I mean, obviously, we now have Ryan Innes, but he hasn't played a lot of football, so I'd be very surprised if he came straight in. And he also plays on that right-hand side when required. So it's lucky now, really, especially with Lapo going out on loan, that Chris Gunter's going to come in. I imagine that Chris Gunter will be match fit because he's been playing for Wales. So I'd assume that he'll be fairly sharp. But yeah, we're going to miss Deji, and it is frustrating, obviously, with we know Pearcey's had a bit of a setback with his injury as well, which I feel like we really miss him. I thought that he really stepped up towards the tail end of last season and became a real leader. You know, we know that he's good at that anyway, but he really, really became the leader that we needed. And I feel like we've missed him. So it's a shame that he's had a setback. And the same with Gilby. You know, we've been impressed with him in his early performances. I thought he played really well in the opening game against Crewe. He's creative. He gets forward. He's got a great eye for a pass. He creates chances. And we missed that too. So typically, you know, we say it every year, don't we? The injury record isn't great. But at least now we're able to sign players to replace them, because we've been in such a mess before. You know, we've had to rely on youngsters the whole way through. But it looks like hopefully by 5 p.m. tomorrow, as we said earlier, we're going to have a few more in the door, hopefully. And the squad depth is slowly increasing, and you know, that's going to be our squad till January. So hopefully those three guys get back fit as soon as possible and we can see where we are from there.
So just briefly then, Tom, looking ahead to the Wigan game, I'm trying to think what sort of changes you might want to make. So Chuksunike has come off the bench. That's probably more of a fitness thing. So whether he'd be able to start, I'm not certain about that. Obviously, with Deji out, there'll have to be a little bit of movement down the back. But I guess, you know, Gunter can come in and play right back if he's got some fitness in his legs. It's going to be interesting to see which ones of these new signings that Lee Bowyer thinks does have enough energy to go out and start the full 90 minutes. I mean, even Marcus Madison, because he hasn't had a pre-season, Bo said after the Sunderland game, he's unlikely to be anywhere near full fitness even by the time we've come to the other side of the international break, which is where we find ourselves now. So we don't really know who Bowie is going to have confidence in terms of fitness to chuck straight in yet.
Yeah, you're right. I think the back four or five, depending how he goes, you're right in terms of personnel, but we're starting to feel slightly more stocked there now. You think of the players you've just listed, you know, obviously Innes and Martsen coming in. You've got Gunter, you've got Purrington, you've got Famewo, so you've got a fair few options there. I think what will be interesting is how we go forward, because I think we've probably got maybe six or seven midfielders to choose from, but you know, Watson and Prattley are very defensive. Madison, as you say, is he fit? Jake, how attacking can he be? I wouldn't, until yesterday, have said that Johnny Williams would be anywhere near the starting lineup for Saturday, purely because of the form he's been on. And I don't think he's going to do this. And if we get a striker through the door, then absolutely not. But Johnny obviously got his goal yesterday and played in a false nine and bizarrely worked brilliantly. He got in the box four or five times in the 20 minutes he was on. And, you know, I would have been laughed out the door if I'd come on here and said playing Johnny in a false nine a week ago. And I still, as I say, don't think Bowyer will do that. But it's an interesting option because, as we say, we're not sure where goals are coming from. You've got Connor, who, from what we've seen, likes to play out wide. You've got Chucks, who likes to play maybe more of a number 10. You've got Bogle, who's come in, obviously, but it remains to be seen how quickly he gets up to speed. So at the moment, we're really struggling up top with a striker. So it's there, really, that I'm most interested to see. Again, Alfie, obviously, in that list as well, but again, likes to play out wide. So we're almost having to play four at the back and then six midfielders slash wide men slash sort of advanced forwards, if you like. But you haven't really got a striker. So that's where I'm interested to see what he does. Because, as I say, Wigan are a team that can be got at and have conceded a lot of goals. And it's a team that I'd like us to try and put out an attacking formation. And we've got the players that could be attacking. It's just the best way to set them up, really. So it's going to be very interesting to see who he picks and where he picks them.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time, so let's just have a quick score prediction. First Tom, then Lewis. Go on, Tom.
3-1 Charlton.
Take that, Lewis.
I'm going to go 2-1 Charlton.
Take that as well. Lovely stuff. Right, we've come to the end of this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened so far, and thanks to Richard Corley for coming on for our transfer deadline day chat. You'll find out over the course of Friday who those two bodies are coming in, if we can get two more over the line. Excited to see who they are. Thanks to Tom and Lewis for joining me this week.
No worries. Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. I've been Louis Mendes. Like I say, thank you for listening to the Big Match Preview. We'll be back here with a Charlton Live podcast on Sunday as well to find out what happens against Wigan. Look forward to speaking to you then. But until then, see you later. Charlton Live.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.